Hello and welcome to
Family Movie Night.
I'm Dan.
I'm Jamie.
I'm Asher.
And I'm Gwen.
And here we talk about a movie that we watched together.
Tonight we watched Incredibles 2.
All right, and you know our new podcast dealio.
So if you don't want spoilers, then turn it off.
Right.
Bleah.
Watch the movie. Tonight's episode of Family Movie Night is brought to you by Hancock Real Estate. We're not really sponsored, but we did get into the movie tonight for free, opening weekend. It was pretty fun. But, you know, we do want to support him. Buy or sell phoenixrealestate.com is the domain name where you can go to get all your real estate needs taken care of by some competent professionals. Anyway, thank you to Marshall Hancock, who we know that got us to see the movie
for free
at no cost to us. We bought popcorn.
Yay. That's the only money we used.
Correct.
Other than Taco Bell afterward.
Also brought to you by Taco Bell.
Yes.
We're fueled by Taco Bell right now.
Popcorn. That we mentioned.
All right. So the last movie we reviewed on Family Movie Night was called
The Incredibles.
And this, what did they say, 14 years later? 10
yeah.
years later?
14.
2004. Yeah. 14 years later.
That's incredible.
That's incredible.
It's Mr. Incrediboy.
So this movie is a sequel to The Incredibles, one of our favorite movies.
And I think they did the sequel really well.
I think so,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, I was like not expecting it to be as good because all I heard going into it was that it was going to be about like Mr. Incredible staying home with the kids mm-hmm. and Elastigirl or Mrs. Incredible, whatever you want to call her, out fighting crime. And I was like, is this going to be heavy-handed? Is this going to mm-hmm. be, you know, whatever? But I thought they did an awesome job.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I thought it was, like, equally good to The Incredibles.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. I thought it had a great way to begin with Riley. What's his name?
The kid.
I would die for Riley.
Yeah, wrong movie. other Pixar movie. Tony Reitinger.
Tony Reitinger's recounting the events, you know, previously on The Incredibles.
Yeah, and he's recounting, like, what happened. I think it was really smart how they continued it. They didn't, like, show them fighting. They, like, started with the interrogation and, like, him recalling. And then, like, then they stopped. And then, but the memories just came back. And then they kept on going.
Yeah, that was pretty masterful the way that they did that beginning.
Yeah.
I also thought that the whole time it was going to be about the Underminer.
Mm.
And that was my impression. Mm. I don't know why. But it was interesting to me that he got away and he never resurfaced again in the
I'll get him in the third one.
So yeah, like but that was like a strange, not tied up end to me, but yeah. I mean, it didn't bother me a lot or anything.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, he did get away, and nobody
I
ever caught
like
him.
I feel like he would have to regroup and stuff like that. Mini little tank taking on an entire town that's ready for him to come back. Like, I feel like in the first place, it would even be illogical for him to come back. If he did, he'd be coming back like with a very small tank with no armor, weapons.
Yeah, and he had a bunch of money, right? That he escaped with a ton of money. So he's good for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He can maybe, like, upgrade it with the money.
But I feel like the Underminer can't use that money.
Yeah. I don't know I never know what supervillains do with their money or power because they already had it in the first place.
Ways, what does the Joker do? Go into a North Korean bomb shop and say, hey, can you help me out? I'm from America. Like,
do you take dollars?
Yeah. And even if you're like going to an American shop, they'd be like, ah, it's the Joker. And then they would like get all the, and then the Joker kills the guy. And it's like, why did you get all that money? Like,
yeah, well, who knows what's right in the secret life of villains. Maybe that should be the next movie that they make. The secret life of not pets, but villains.
That would be a ripoff.
It'd be great.
Yeah.
We would finally get all of our questions answered.
Yeah. No, I kind of figured that, I don't know, I imagine that Incredibles 2, I heard nothing about it, but I imagine that it would take place much after the Underminer and that would just be swept under the rug. And I kind of enjoyed that I was like, oh, they get an opening adventure with the Underminer. Yeah. And that was fun to, you know, to not sweep that under the rug and to.
And it also made sense why they had the cast like explaining to us like, oh, this has been 14 years afterwards. It takes a while to do these sorts of things or whatever. And I was like, well, who cares if it's like later on in the timeline? But I guess since it picks up right after, then I'm like, oh, maybe they did. Maybe that was a good idea for them to say like, oh yeah, we know it's been 14 years. Thanks for being patient and hope you enjoy the show. You know,
yeah,
it was an interesting choice, but.
All right. So they defeat the Underminer, kind of. He gets away, and the police are like mad at them.
I like.
There's lots of destruction.
I like the guy that was trying to make superheroes legal again.
Mm-hmm.
That guy's point of view, because Bob was like, people are so ignorant. But I was like, and I was agreeing with Bob, but then he was like, no, it's about how perceptive the politics are.
Mm-hmm.
The
perceptions. Mm-hmm.
Like, because they didn't even say this, but I realized if there are good people doing good things just for free, and the politicians are doing good things only if they get stuff in return, then who are they going to rely on? The politicians or the people just doing good things? Yeah. The people just doing good things.
It's an interesting idea. I think, too, that it's very true. The news kind of controls how we see things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if the news is telling you that superheroes are bad and they're only showing you one side of the story, then most people kind of get on board with that. And if the news is telling you that superheroes are good, then people usually get on board with that. So,
so you know, they end up in a motel and Frozone comes and says, hey, do you guys, you know, you guys should come to this meeting tonight with this guy who wants to bring superheroes back.
And I knew that guy was legit.
You knew he was legit, huh?
I was not so sure about the girl.
But
then
it was
like,
going to be a trap.
Near the middle, I knew that the girl was the bad guy. But the whole time, I was like, that guy looks...
He seems sincere, huh?
He looks more like a sheep than a wolf in sheep's clothing.
He looks fine, but she looked a little...
Like she needed some more sleep?
Yeah.
She looked more
or she
wary.
Just slept and woke up.
Yeah. I was like, are they going to do the same thing again? You know, like... have some wealthy person be the bad guy behind the whole ruse. And and it kind of was, but they did a really good job anyway, right?
Yeah, like it was a good
twist.
Very
similar.
Even though I totally saw it coming, and I saw the misdirection of them always saying that the screen, was it Screen Slayer?
Slaver.
Slaver, that's right. Pretty good name. So they kept calling that person
him.
A he, and I was like, I'm pretty sure that's the girl that's standing right next to you, you know, because especially when she was like, oh, you're good with computers
technology.
And technology. Can you make me something? And she's like, oh, yeah, sure. You know, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, from that point, I think I was pretty sure.
I knew that, like, I knew ever since they did the tracking device, I was like, this cannot fail. So that cannot be the screen slaver. And then, like, the solution that she thought of popped into my head right then. Like, oh, she
could
have,
controlling somebody else and pretending.
But why didn't she have, like, millions and millions of millions of cronies?
Yeah, I think she was just trying to trick her into thinking she had defeated that that person. So, mm-hmm. yeah. And I kind of thought maybe that the brother would be in on it. And then mm-hmm. they had all set that all up so that they could show that the supers were good again. Like it mm-hmm. was, I thought it was just an elaborate.
Right. Like a hoax. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like it was a fake bad guy just to, but when the screen said, "Congratulations, you're back, Elastigirl," or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's when, you know, that's when it felt like it wasn't just that. Yeah, because I was wondering yeah. too, when, oh, the police scanner, oh, there's trouble at the, you know, there's going to be trouble at the launch of this new train. I was like, are they setting all this up to, you know, so that right. these good guys could save the day and like, you know, but kind of. But not yeah. together, yeah.
Yeah, just not together. Mm-hmm. For a little bit, I thought they might be working together. And then I mm-hmm. thought, nah, I think it's just her. And that's what it ended up being, so.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I really enjoyed them, like, you know, like that I really enjoyed that thing that they did where they said, "Elastigirl, because you, you know, cause the least amount of problems when you, you know, fight yeah. crime. We want you to come back first and make a comeback and then yeah. everybody else." And then
so smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was
and it made total
reason.
Sense mm-hmm. too. I was like, yeah, she would probably be, you know, cause she
more careful than Bob. Yeah.
Right. Cause he's punching yeah. his way through things mm-hmm. and she's not, you know, yeah. so it made a ton of finesse. Sense. That's one of the reasons why I totally bought into, you know, they weren't like on some soapbox preaching feminism, which I am a feminist, but mm-hmm. like I was kind of thinking they were going to do it poorly, but man, they did it so well. Mm-hmm. I really loved it.
Yeah. And then Bob is, you know, he, you know, has to come to grips with this fact that, you know, that she's going to be the superhero first. And
he was a little like too mad about it.
I thought it was like, a little overplayed.
So are you from the 50s or right. like what, you know, it was a little strange that he was so upset that she got to be the first one in the limelight and that he was like incapable of taking care of his children, you know? But I mean, in the first one, they do set that up, you know, she's like, "Hey, engage," you know? Yeah. And he's like, "Oh, listen to your mother, kids," you know?
Right.
So it made sense. The right. whole thing made sense. I was mm-hmm. fine with it.
Yeah. No, his through gritted teeth thing felt a little,
a little over the top yeah. maybe.
But then, you know, when he has his first day and she has her first day, and I loved like that Elastigirl bike. That was a great thing yeah. to add to her, and I love how he's like, "I didn't know you had this,"
right?
And a mohawk, because
yeah, and because we didn't know that either, and so that was a cool, that was a fun thing,
right? And she's like, "Oh, you didn't know everything about me," you know, that was kind of fun.
I have some hidden secrets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the Elastibike, at first, you know, I was like, "Okay, cool, she gets to ride a motorcycle," but then when it split apart and she could like use it with her superpower, I was like,
yeah.
"This is
yeah,
pretty cool."
That's even really cool.
Yeah.
It's why it's called the Elastibike.
But it's mm-hmm. like, but it's like the Incredible
Incredmobile.
Yeah, the Incredmobile or whatever it's yeah. called, the Incredmobile.
Incremobile? I don't know.
Whatever.
Incredible.
Incredible.
Nice French.
What were you going to say about it?
It doesn't match his superpowers. That's
no,
but it no. it helps
strong.
Him
yeah.
and mm-hmm. a lot. Yeah. And I thought that that was those were good elements mm-hmm.
one
of it.
Thing, one thing I noticed was that like the bad guy this time was the girl, and last time it was the boy of a duo of two different. Genders.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. Like Mirage was ended up being nicer in the first one. Yeah. And then it was the other way around in this one. The, mm-hmm. But it was a brother and sister team instead of a boyfriend girlfriend thing. But
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They switched stuff up. I thought mm-hmm. it was kind of, you know, maybe convenient that they got to be in this like rich person's house. I kind
of
liked it when they were in the motel,
well,
like they had
seven
to
of them.
More scrappy.
Yeah, seven houses. So.
Yeah, and that made sense, and it was fine. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't care, but I was like, oh well, that's convenient because they don't have to deal with, you know, neighbors or whatever yeah. with Jack going crazy. Mm-hmm. And we kind of forgot because we know that Jack
right.
has powers from the Incredibles
right.
one. But we forgot that no one else knew. Yeah. They thought he was just normal, no powers, you know, mm-hmm. whatever. And then they find out that he has all these powers. And I loved with Edna when he was like, I just need some sleep. Like, mm-hmm. will you watch my kid? And she's like, no, I don't do babysitting is, nope, that's not me. And then she sees Jack's
powers.
And first of all, he makes himself look like her. And she's like, oh, I like you already, you know? Then she's like, okay, go, bye. You know, like, I'm fine. Yep, we'll be fine.
See get out of here.
Yeah.
And
skedaddle.
And the thing about Jack is that, like, she didn't think he would cause any trouble because she was about to save him, but then he just saved himself. And she was like, I guess he can take care of himself.
Yeah, and she saved the day sort of yet again with that little device that she made.
Yeah, her suit and the tracker, yeah.
She must be like manic or something with how much she can get done in such a small amount of time.
She made a comment about it too, about like, you know, this is an impossible amount of things
work
to do in one night, but I did even more.
Because that's the Edna we know.
Yeah, and then her, you know, exclusive, you know, contract to design all of your suits in
the known universe
and forever, till the end of time. That was so great.
That was pretty great. And I really thought, I'm like, okay, are they giving Elastigirl her own suit because, like, she needs to be her own person or whatever? But I really, and I thought that was fine. And it was interesting that she's like, you know, oh, this is like moodier than my last suit. I'm not really this person.
I'm flexible.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it was interesting that in the end, they ended up all wearing their incredible suits again. And I liked that. I thought it was cool because it's like, we're a team, we're a family, you know, it was like visual, you know, unification. So I liked that.
Yeah. But it was cool. Like, to let them be separate for a little while, you know, like, oh, wear your old costumes. And then it was like, no, you're going to be Elastigirl, not Mrs. Incredible.
Right.
So yeah, that was really
cool.
Yeah,
I liked both of those choices.
After Bob has his first day and, you know, he had a rough day, but he tries to shield his wife from it. And then she had an awesome day and he's like jealous and then he can't sleep and the baby's getting out and all sorts of things. And then he's like in bed and he can't sleep. And it was just so sweet when he goes down and like learns the new math.
I know.
I loved that moment too.
Yeah.
Where he humbled himself and said, this is what needs to be done. I'm going to learn this new math. And he just studied through the night and then woke Dash up and taught him what he needed to do for his test.
Yeah.
And it was
that was
really
like
cool
you're
moment.
Succeeding in your job too, which was awesome. It wasn't just like the incompetent dad that like didn't know what he was doing. It's like, no, he did what he needed to do. Mm-hmm. And that was awesome. That raccoon fight was something else too.
I like that.
Raccoon versus baby. Who will win? Mm-hmm. Well, when the baby has a dad.
Well, that baby seemed to be holding his own pretty well.
Yeah.
And I loved that too, that he like looks at the TV
and
sees
like
the burglar
in
the burglar mask. And then he looks at the raccoon and raccoons look like they're wearing burglar masks. And he's like, oh, you're a bad guy.
He takes away his drumstick, puts it at the back in the trash can and puts a lid on top.
Yeah.
Like, he levitates pretty good. Lid on top of it.
Yeah.
And the raccoon knows, so he's just like, how dare you?
Yep.
Don't you steal my food.
I was actually pretty surprised at how evenly matched they were.
Yeah.
I'm like, just goes to show you, raccoons are slightly evil.
Whenever a movie has anything to do about brain control, it's really weird. It's kind of, like, scary to me because it's, like, taking away someone's free will is just not correct.
Yeah.
And, I mean, like, I just feel like it's not possible to do that.
Yeah. Mind control.
I don't know.
And that's always been one of the scariest things to explore through media and stuff like that to me too. And I was like, these idiots, like they just saw that somebody could take over your mind through a screen. Why are they all still watching screens? You know, until the guy was caught, I would not be watching any screens. I'd be hiding them in drawers and stuff. So
seriously,
how would you know when he was caught?
I guess maybe read the newspaper.
You would never. You would just not. You would just take no chances and like when you're an old guy, you just...
Well, I guess that technology thing didn't work out. Yeah, I think that you're right. The mind control aspect was very interesting and also
I feel like topical, I don't know, for
our time.
I feel like mind control is like one of the weird subjects of life because it's not possible and it's like, how do you control someone's brain?
Yeah. Well, but I do think that there's something that you can kind of think about, like, you know, sometimes when you're watching a screen and you're very, very interested in what's happening on that screen, then sometimes people feel like you're being mind controlled a little bit because like if you're addicted to a game or if you like you don't want to stop watching something on the screen.
Or if you're like so attracted to it, like you can't hear something that they're saying.
That's important. Yeah.
Sometimes I do get that way. Like when I was younger, I got that way, but I was able to like turn back and I just feel like Dad told me that hypnotism is like, it's like your free will to be sillier. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if everybody thinks like hypnotism is like the power to control minds, then mind control isn't able to exist.
Mm-hmm.
Like if this is the best thing we've got, then hypnotism couldn't be real.
Well, and it's hard enough for people to control their own minds as it is, too. Mm-hmm. It's hard to tell yourself to do something important sometimes. So if someone else told you to do something you didn't really want to do, you're probably not going to do it.
Yeah, it's like, if mind control, what could be mind control? Like, you can't control the brain waves in somebody else's brain.
Yeah.
You can influence it and tell them what's happening, but I mean, like, if mind control existed, I feel like there's only one thing that can do mind control.
Okay.
I feel like mind control has to be wanted. Like, you cannot... The bottom line is mind control has to be wanted. That's like...
Like you actually want to do it, and yeah,
That's what I kind of feel like mind control should be like.
I think it kind of is. Like, that's what hypnotism's all about.
That's what hypnotism's all about. I feel like...
Stop smoking. And you want to stop smoking, so you do.
If I ever made a movie with mind control in it, I would have, like, the character in a scenario where, like, they're at the bottom of everything. They have no place to go. They're all cornered. And, like, the bad guy's like, if I mind control you, you'll be able to do better stuff and, like, live a life. And that would be a pretty tempting offer. Like,
that would be a tempting offer.
Like, you're a very smart person, and I don't know what to do in life.
So, suffice it to say, this villain was bad enough for you guys. Good.
Yeah.
Good villain.
At being bad.
Good at being bad.
I feel good like
at being evil.
Are we done with mind control? Can we move on with other things?
Did you guys?
Well, sure. I just like how when the screen stopped, like, working, then the mind control stopped.
Yeah, that was good. So what did you guys think of the new superheroes?
You have some thoughts on Void.
Jamie's writing a book right now.
Right in the middle of the movie when she said, "My name's Void," you went, "Dang."
Did you say that out loud?
I might have. That's funny. The kids both looked at me too, like, "Whoop."
Yeah.
Because they know.
I shrugged.
I've got a character named Void in my book I'm writing. And I was like,
But he has a superpower that is much more fit than hers.
Fitting to the name.
Fitting to the name.
Yeah, I feel like her name should have been like Portal or something like that. Not Void, but
Vortex.
Whatever.
Portalizer.
Yeah, something like that.
Porterhouse.
But whatever. In the credits, her name was spelled V-O-Y-D, so we're
totally
good.
Totally different.
Yep.
Why instead of an I? It's a grammar rule.
But I thought it was kind of creepy to see our heroes as tools of the villain, like with their creepy eyes and doing bad things.
A little creepy, but also smart.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was really smart of the villain, but it creeped me out. It's always creepy to see like really good people doing terrible mm-hmm. things.
Mm-hmm. It's me, Bob. It's me. That's what I thought last time.
That was great. That was great because she kisses him and then mm-hmm. like slaps one of the things on his eyes or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I enjoyed, there was some cool like fighting scenes, right? Mm-hmm. The first one mm-hmm. when she's fighting who she thinks is the screenslaver.
Yeah.
In that flashy room. It was really cool and interesting. And I guess his like cattle prod thing was like numbing her limp or something. Yeah,
her like gummy limbs mm-hmm. were just flopping around. That was so creepy and crazy and great.
Yeah, and it was just like so, you know, the strobe effect and everything uh-huh. was like, it was
cool,
pretty
looking.
Weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then also when Void is fighting Violet, it was really cool to see them using their, you know, and it was
powers.
Cool to see Violet like learning new power. Like she made the hole bigger with a force field.
Yeah,
and,
that was really cool.
But yeah, like how she could use her Void powers to get in with her or to make her fall places. And mm-hmm. yeah, and having played the video game that's called Portal, it was cool, you know, to think about how her power works and the momentum that's preserved and things like that.
Void had the coolest
powers. Yeah, and
that's
why she was
A bigger character. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The owl.
Brick was just basically like Mr. Incredible, but maybe dumber or something.
Right.
And
dumber and
there was
like
the guy that crushed things that was like
mm-hmm. Crusher.
He was
can't
kind of
uncrush
there.
Things.
Yeah,
know?
He was there for that uncrush.
But they had like cool, if they weren't like cool powers, then they were cool looking powers because there was the electricity guy that mm-hmm. looked cool. The reflux guy, the old guy that was like, medical condition or superpower, you decide, you know. But his,
he barfed out lava.
Yeah, and that was like cool looking too, even though it was also gross.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. Like, how does he get the bar? Like,
yeah,
the
where does
lava?
It come from? Where did the lighter fluid come from?
that's
Arrested
an Arrested Development joke. Okay, but I also thought it was cool to see all of those people, including like Frozone and whoever, fighting on the good side and then also fighting on the bad side, because mm-hmm. I was like, oh, shoot. Like, they have these great, awesome powers, and how are they going to use them, like, for evil now, mm-hmm. you know? So that was kind of neat to see that.
I liked how the bad guy, they lost all memories of being a good guy. And so, like, the bad guy just came up with their own battle tactics. Mm-hmm. They didn't know any, like, classic flingerings. Like, they didn't know the trampoline or the slinger thing.
Oh, for Elastigirl, her
moves. Yeah, for Elastigirl combined with Mr. Incredible's superpowers.
You really got into that mind control thing.
I'm a big fan of the flingering thing that you just said.
Yeah.
I think I might use that in my everyday vocabulary. So, yeah, I also liked that they were very into the no casualties thing, right? Like, she's like, and I had no casualties. Mm-hmm. Like, she was so excited at the beginning, you know, mm-hmm. we're going back here. But you know, like, it was interesting that they acknowledged that there were casualties sometimes, right? And so, but, you know, the fact that she had none, that's so great. She didn't kill anybody mm-hmm. while she was trying to save, you know,
pie
the city
charts
or whatever.
Are still
almost intact.
Yeah.
I also liked that played into the what she did with the villain, because the villain, she like punches her out of the plane, but then she goes after her. Elastigirl goes after the
she doesn't want to be responsible for
anyone's death, mm-hmm. even if it's the villain. Yeah.
And the villain is like, trying to punch Elastigirl and mm-hmm. get.
Yeah, she down like to wants to die, apparently.
She said, nobody wants to die, nobody. But then she's like, you know what? If I'm going to lose, I'm going to commit suicide before I lose.
Yeah, like that would have been her way of making Elastigirl kind of
lose a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then it would be a smaller chance of having superheroes
maybe
legal.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
hurt their chances.
But the one thing was that so
killed someone.
It's funny because the first time superheroes were illegalized, it's because he actually saved the person that was trying to commit suicide.
Yeah.
So.
But they have to be true to who they are, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it is interesting that the public's perception turned on that.
Because some guy wanted to commit suicide.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you ruined my death. That's what you did.
Yeah, that's when it started.
I liked, too, that there was, like, some archival footage of mm-hmm. Elastigirl on a mm-hmm. screen at some point. It was her going, like, leave the saving to the men? I don't think so. And I was like, mm-hmm. that's so appropriate for this movie. Mm-hmm. Like, I wonder if that's what got them thinking about the themes they were going to explore in this one, or I don't know what. But anyway, it was perfect.
Yeah.
I thought that they really explored Elastigirl's powers really well in this movie. I thought, like you mm-hmm. said, with her motorcycle, that was awesome to be able to see the imagination that they had behind that with that motorcycle splitting and with her using it as a part of like her. I also thought it was funny that it got like destroyed like immediately.
Yeah.
You know, it was like crash. Okay.
It also felt funny how it was like she was on the tracks. There was a tunnel coming up and she gets up on top of the train and then she has to ditch her motorcycle. And I was like, why didn't you just stay on the tracks?
Right. Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, I don't know.
Sure. Just follow it through. And then, yeah.
I'm sure she was busy thinking of things, but
yeah.
It felt like funny because it was like there was a tunnel. She gets in front of the train and then there's another tunnel, but she just gets on top of the train and crashes the bike. I'm like, okay, well. Anyway, it was just, it was strange, but whatever. That doesn't really matter to the plot.
Yeah. There were a couple of those moments for me, actually, and I can't remember all of them, but, you know, I was like, all right, whatever, you know.
But nothing can be perfect. Or no one.
Except for maybe the first Incredibles movie. That was pretty perfect.
This movie had some, like, big vocabulary words in it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And it also swore more than the other. Okay. Yeah. I mean, not like a ton, but
it said the D word a few times.
And the H word once, at least.
But yeah, she said the pizza guy was surly. But there was, I think there was a couple words where I was like, I don't know what that word means. You know, like from context, I was able to figure it out. But I was just like, I've never heard that word, you know. So
interesting.
It's kind of interesting to get new vocabulary words.
From a Pixar movie?
Yeah, from like a family kids movie.
Yeah.
But good for you guys. Good job, Brad Bird. Way to raise the bar around here.
New words.
I hope they make an Incredibles 3 that's a good sequel still.
Yeah.
No potty jokes in this movie. I was like kind of surprised. I mean, there's no potty jokes.
Is a baby in there.
Oh, yeah. Jack poops.
But that's like a parenting joke.
Okay.
Because he's like, well, you don't have any big vocabulary words. And then it's like, Jack comes to rain on his parade.
They really did a good job because, yeah, we know that Jack has powers. And we have, not only do we have, you know, the end of The Incredibles, but also the Jack-Jack attack with the babysitter, Kari. And so, you know, when they're like, oh, yeah, and Jack-Jack, well, Jack-Jack's perfect. He's fine. He's easy or whatever. And then it's like, oh, he's easy. I'm like, but he has those crazy powers, you know, and then.
But they didn't know. Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot that they didn't know that. Yeah. That's so great that they found out, like, way later.
It was all up in the air and they didn't see what was going on. Mm-hmm. But
yeah.
I think she even said, like, what's going on up there? I can't see, you know.
Right. Right, they did, yeah, great job. That was a fun, like, reveal, but it was like, it was like revealing, they didn't know. Jack has powers? I missed his first power. You guys have anything to say about, like, when the kids rescued their parents at the end, or?
I thought that was really unbelievable.
Yeah, like, I thought it was a little impossible.
I liked how Jack was the wild card, like, they have a superpower baby that can change dimensions and float around in anti-gravity. Uh-oh.
They drive away, pull over, and they're just like, we don't have any more Mr. Freeze, no parents.
Oh, Frozone.
Yeah, no Frozone.
It might have been a little bit more believable with him, huh?
And, yeah.
But
we do have our powers, the Incredibles, and they're just like, I don't know. And then Jack uses his powers to lift them up, and then they just look back and see that it was him, and they're just like smiling at each other, and then they're just like,
they're like, okay, we can do this.
Take us to the cruise ship.
Mm-hmm. I also thought it was cool that in the scene right before that, Mr. Incredible was pretty much teaching them how to use him as a weapon. So it was kind of a little bit like, yeah, he's not just like this wild card that we can't control. We can kind of control, yeah, like his crazy powers. So I thought that was smart to have that in there. Because, yeah, like he does have these amazing powers, but they are kind of
unwieldy.
Like, yeah, and like Asher said, they're a wild card. So, well, I think we're kind of wrapping up anyway. I think we've said most of what we want to say. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, the only other thing that I can think of is the short beforehand, right? The, what was it called?
Bow.
That was very interesting because it was like allegorical or like metaphorical or I don't know what that was. But it was kind of like, okay, I have this dumpling that's a baby and it's growing into a man. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh no, it is a man. And that was just like a
dream.
Yeah. Either a dream or like that was like a metaphor for like, you know, this little dumpling of hers was actually a person all along. And that was just like a metaphor for, I don't know, like, I don't really know how to interpret it, but it was sweet and cute and different.
When that dumpling turned into a baby, Ezra was like loving it. He was like, that's so great.
He's like, what?
Big old smiling. Smile. Well, the final sequence with the ship, you know, coming in, you know, on a collision course with the city and the cool jet thing. And yeah, you know, they just make such cool things in this world.
Yeah. Well, and even in the motel, like the TV in there was like interesting looking, you know, it was like a different look to our actual world.
Right.
You know?
Right. It's an alternate future kind of thing
or something. Yeah. Alternate present.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess so. No smartphones.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, but still a lot of screens and lots of TV stores, I guess. Because people are always gathering around the TVs and the TV stores.
Right. It's like it's like the future that the people in the 50s thought they'd be living in, you know?
Sure, yeah. Yeah, and Frozones was looking like a lot of his, when he was using his powers, it looked really cool.
Yeah, they saved the day.
Did you doubt they would?
Save the day.
That's from Backyardigans.
Yes. The music?
Still awesome.
Still awesome.
I don't think Ezra's ever danced so hard in his life. End credits there.
He just loves.
Was the message any different than the first one? You know, what do we think the message might, a message might have been from this movie? I don't even know if I have an idea.
Yeah,
I
mean,
it's kind of complicated. It's like a family teamwork kind of idea.
Sure. And it's also like, let people be who they're going to be sort of thing, you know, like don't make people go into hiding just for being who they are or whatever. Mm-hmm. There was a little bit of that. There was the family is stronger together, you know, like helping each other out and knowing, like, because Violet kind of had a victory when she said, I'm going to stay right here with Jack-Jack so in case we do collide, I can protect him. Where the whole time she was kind of complaining.
Nobody wanted to babysit Jack-Jack.
Right, and so it was like a little breakthrough for her to go, this is where I'm needed most, and it's an okay place to be, you know, to be watching my brother.
Yeah, and Bob did that too with his kids, you know, like he was like, okay, you know, this is where I need to be.
So it's like we're all supporting each other and we all know where our place is, basically. Yeah.
The spotlight is a great place to be, but you shouldn't always
be where you're
needed.
Yeah.
Where, and let other people shine.
Yeah. And you can be a hero even if you're not
in the spotlight.
In the spotlight. So
it's a little like Sky High where there's sidekicks and they're not as special. And then at the end, they're like heroes.
Saving the day. Yeah, exactly. That's true.
Should we do that one soon?
Sure.
I already watched it.
I know you did.
Let's just watch it today. Again.
Okay, back to back.
Hello,
let's do
and
it
welcome
next.
To Family Movie Night.
We watched Sky High.
I did.
Asher watched Sky High. We've seen it before.
I watched
parts
like
of it.
Half of it.
Good job. You can review half of it.
I like it. I'll do.
All right.
And she was rude.
Well, you heard it here first, folks. Watch Sky High before we review it, so you can listen to that episode.
And also, hopefully you've already seen The Incredibles.
Right, if you haven't seen that already, I don't know what you're doing here.
And we also hope that you really liked the movie, because we thought it was very well done. Super well done.
It wasn't good. It was super.
Incredible.
Yeah, that's what incredible. Gwen turned to me and said, I thought she was going to say incredible.
That's what I thought too, but super works.
Super works too. Yep.
Because when everybody's super,
nobody is.
All right, everybody. Have a good night.
Thanks for joining us.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. But if you're listening to this during the day, then good day.